Thank you very much, Brother Slade. This is a good time of the year. This is the time when we really celebrate the foundation of what the church really is all about. So with that in mind, Father, I thank you for this privilege to be here. And I thank you for the gospel for the glory of Jesus on 100.9 FM KRAJ. I thank you for it. Thank you for Brother Melvin Slay, who make it possible for us to do this, and I give you praise for it. Now, Lord, open our understanding that as we share this ministry, that men and women, whoever listens to it, will be lifted from where they are to the next level up higher. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak today, and I'm going to wrap all my thoughts around Acts chapter 2 again. I think the last time we shared some portions of Acts chapter 2, but now we're going to move to Acts chapter 2 and probably verse 14 through about, somewhere around 30, 38. Okay, and the theme that I want to put with that is the mystery and power of Pentecost. The mystery and the power of Pentecost. Well, the scripture says in Acts chapter 2, starting at 14, it says, But Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up, this is verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judah, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Verse 15, For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of, by the prophet Joel. And then he goes on to say what Joel said, that God had said. Verse 17, And it shall come to pass in the last days, keep notice on that, that saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And then he goes on, verse 18, and he says, And on my servants and on my handmaid I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. We're talking about the folks that work in the barnyard and everywhere else. Now, watch this. The mystery here is that when Jesus had risen from the dead, looking over there in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, he says, all power, that's what he said in verse 18, all power is in my hand, both in heaven and earth. Then, after he made that statement, then he made a statement for them to go. And he said, I want you to go. And then he goes on in verse 20 and says, but you ain't going to be by yourself. I'm going with you. Now, here's the mystery, that at that particular time, there were men and women from everywhere. All kind of people who were in the area with all kind of different languages. Now, after the 49th and then finally the 50th day, which was the actual day of Pentecost, that's why when Paul writes in Acts chapter 2, he says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, when the time had arrived. Now, when that happened, and the prayer had gone forth in the upper room, These people were so excited. That is, that 120, when they came out, boy, them dudes were red hot. I mean, they nothing bothered them. They were that excited about what God had done for them while they were in the upper room. Now, the Bible says they began to speak in tongues. And as they began to speak in tongues, then all of these other nations heard in their own language. And then God began to say, well, wait a minute, hold on here. Aren't all these guys that's speaking this language, aren't they all Galileans? And that's when old brother Peter stood up over yonder in verse 14 and said, wait a minute, you guys think these guys are drunk, but it ain't even, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. The liquor stores are nothing else open. These guys, the Spirit of God that has come as a part of a day of Pentecost is come upon them and given them the authority and the power to speak a language that they didn't know. They never knew anything. They didn't know what they were saying. They bubble out all this stuff, but it was a language. So it was a mystery to these people. But Peter had to know, no, this is not a mystery. Shuck, I'm about to lose it up in here. You know, he said, you think these guys are drunk, but no, they're not drunk. This is what had already been prophesied, that before the glorious day of God is to come, that the Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh, and they shall prophesy. Then Peter goes on to say that not only on those of authority and those who were in high places, but out in the barnyard, hello, out there with the servants, these people received the Holy Spirit and they prophesied. Then Peter said, but everyone that called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, this is a happy time for me. And this is a part of the year that every church that's open in the name of Jesus ought to be screaming, yelling, and hollering, and dancing, and jumping, and you know, I'm having a birthday that's going to come up, and my kids are going to celebrate with me, and we're going to my favorite eating place. I don't eat very much red meat anymore, but on this particular day, I'm gonna have myself some red meat, because I'm gonna celebrate my 81st birthday. You all didn't hear that, but that's what I'm gonna do. Now, what is it that I'm trying to say? We're gonna have a celebration in the 21st century of the move of the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, there's a lot of stuff happening that we may not be paying attention to, but I want you to know that God is moving and His Spirit is moving in the earth. And you know what? This is the unique part. This is the mystery part. And this is the power part. Can't nobody stop Him. I saw a movie the other night, and it says that I don't go to movies that much. I may go to a couple movies in a year. But this movie says that God is not dead. And I tell you, that movie excited me so much, because this young boy, the teacher told everybody, I want you to write down that God is dead, and you agree. And so all but one, this one boy would not. He says to the teacher, I can't do this. Teacher, that's fine. But you're going to be on your own. I'm going to turn my lectern over to you, and you're going to have to prove. And he says, then the boy says, well, who's the judge? And he says, well, I am. And who else? He says, well, what about all these 80 people that's in here? Why can't they be the judge if I convince them that God is not dead? He said, teacher thought that was cool. So he let him do it. But this brother went down the line, and when he got through, everybody in the room was saying, God is not dead. So teacher said, I hate God. I hate God. So the boy said, well, okay, you hate him? For what? And this teacher said, because he took my mama and everything else I had. He said, well, tell me, doctor, how can you hate something that doesn't exist? And she said, God doesn't exist. Shot him out of the wagon. Well, the bottom line is, brothers and sisters, listen, the power of the Holy Spirit is moving in the earth today, and there's some crazy stuff happening. 229 people still missing. They can't find the plane. They can't even find a smell of it. Not yet. And that's been, what, a month or so? And they cannot find a smell of it. Last night, I believe it was, a ferry turnover with about 300 young people on there, and looks like they may be gone, may be dead. So it's strange stuff. Globs of people just being taken out. So ladies and gentlemen, please understand me that the word of God is right, and ain't nobody gonna convince me ever again. And I was in a little mess of a rut there way back when I was in my early 20s. I couldn't tell mama I didn't believe, because mama was not gonna take that. But I knew in my heart I really could not believe in something I couldn't see, touch, smell, or hear him speak. Until he took me through some things that let me know he's for real. So I want to bring this message on down the road to you to see where we're headed here. And I want you to take a look with me. Let me see here. Then Peter speaks again. Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. You saw what the Lord Jesus did. And then verse 23, and him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, and has crucified him, slain him, nailed him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead. God picked him up. There are some men that were crucified that took them several days to die. Sometimes they'd break their legs so that it would take away the pain from one place and put it in another. But look what happened to Jesus. Jesus was crucified. And I think something just hours, and I don't remember at the moment exactly how many hours, but it was not many hours on the same day when they came by to look at him, to see how he was doing, dying, seeing if he was gone, or seeing what happened. He was already gone. But you know what, folks? This is the thing that makes the Pentecost so mystical. And this is what makes the power so powerful. I know that ain't exactly the way to say that. Powerful, so powerful. But it is powerful. And I just want to have you to know that the Lord Jesus declared all power was in his hand. And he has come, and he had gotten up, and he spent these 30-something days, 40 days, I think it was, with his disciples, and worked with them, and had them to know that he wanted them to go on a mission, and he wanted to make sure that they knew that he had the power, and that he was going to go with them. He was not going to leave them alone. Now, what did God do for Jesus? God raised Jesus from the dead. Had he not raised Jesus from the dead, all of my preaching, all that Brother Melvin, all at 100.9 could do with FM, it would have to be a lie. But Jesus, sure enough, was resurrected from the dead. God didn't let him stay in the grave. In fact, I heard somebody say the other day that the implications were he used a borrowed tomb. So in order to use a borrowed tomb means that he's going to give it back. So he gave the borrowed tomb back less than 3 days. He stayed in there until the third day morning, but God raised him up, opened the grave, took him out, raised him up, did not allow his body to see decay. And the reason why he didn't do that is because all power is in his hand. He's now God again. And so I want to say to you then, Peter said over here in Acts, and I want you to look at this with me. Now when they heard, this is verse 37, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, these people here that have been in mystery, now they're asking, what shall we do? Look at what Peter said in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's that power that we need. That's that power that every individual need to have. If you don't have that power, you're a little hiney end. I don't care. You can weigh much as me, 250 pounds, but I can get whooped up real bad if I don't have power. But I got power, folks. I got power. And I'm so glad that God has given me power. And he has given me power. And if you don't have it, it's because you haven't asked for it. And you haven't spent time with him. And then he said in verse 39, for this promise is unto you and unto your children and to all of them that are far off, even as many as the Lord God has called. I want you to know, as we close this message today, God is up. He ain't in the grave no more. He's up. He's up. He's up. He's up. He's up. He is up. Folks, he's up. I ain't lying to you. He's up. He's up. He is up. And I thank God for that. So, Father, I thank you, and I ask you to bless this message, that whosoever hear it, that their lives will be changed because they heard the word. I just ask you now to bless us and keep us. Don't never turn us loose. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hearing us. I want to put out to you that coming up on April the 23rd, by the way, don't tell anybody I told you, but that's my birthday, but that doesn't really matter. We're talking about the church anniversary. 64th church anniversary. We'll have what we call a show and tell that Wednesday night right here in our worship center. And that's on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And then on Sunday morning, Apostle Brian Keith Williams will be here to speak to us. He has been with us, oh my God, I would say 35 years. And then, in addition to that, that evening, Tremaine Hawkins will be here with us at 5 o'clock on the 27th. We're excited about celebrating our 64th church anniversary. God is keeping us, and the reason why he's keeping us, he's up in Jesus' name. Ladies and gentlemen, one other thing I wanted to make mention to you. Here at our church, and I'm not trying to get anybody from their church because I'm not interested in rotation of members from one to the other. But if you're free on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're walking through the book of Acts. And the way we're walking through the book of Acts, we're looking at the first century church as a model for the 21st century church. So if you're free and you would like to be here with us, we'd be glad to have you come by. If you're unchurched, we'd be glad to have you come by. By the way, I forgot to tell you where we're located. You know where we're located? We're located right here. Oh, that don't do it, does it? Okay. We're located at 37721 North 100th Street East in Little Rock, California, or better known as Sun Village, California. And 37721, and our service on Sunday morning is at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday night is at 7 p.m. And by the way, we have classes for our youth as well. The youth have another class that is being taught now and led by Pastor Thomas Carter. Great teacher, great man of God, so we're looking forward. If anybody is not churched or don't have a worship service on Wednesday night, come be with us. We'd be glad to have you. We know you would enjoy it. All right. Amen.